So, Paul, this is the first time I've had a chance to speak to you since the unfortunate day at Leicester.
That's because I've been blanking
you all summer. It's because you've not been answering the phone, yeah. You're very good at that.
Yeah.
What have the last few weeks been like then?
Yeah, it's been busy. I was lucky enough, I got 4 days away with my family. And the rest of the time's been concentrating on getting things right here. You know, and obviously there's been a lot of stuff going on, which on both sides I've been a major part of. So it's been a bit of a learning experience for me this summer as well.
Is it a big positive, though? Do you see overall the fact that the takeover's essentially happened now? Do you see that as a big positive step for this club?
I think it's important, first and foremost, to give a lot of credit to Terry and Dick. You know, Terry Bramwell and Dick Watson, for the way they've managed the club and took the club on. You know, it's still subject to the takeover on the 18th, but things are looking positive. And from my point of view, I want to get back to being a football manager again. You know, constant boys have been back in 9 days training now. We're off to Portugal, got another game before that, and I'm more happier in my job when I'm out there on the grass.
When the takeover was happening and it was announced, there's all this talk suddenly of we want to be back in the Championship straight away, we want to eventually get in the Premier League within 5 years. That does put some pressure on the players and on the manager as well, doesn't it?
I've said all along, the most pressure I have is the pressure I put on myself to succeed. I think the club's objective next year has to go straight back up. We'll be in probably a group of clubs, 6, 7, 8 teams who will have the same aim and similar budgets as well. So, you know, for that point of view, I want to succeed. You know, I don't ever want to have that feeling that I had last year or end of last season at Leicester. You know, and the one thing we've got to have next season is as a staff, as a club. And especially as players, as a winning mentality.
How long did it take you to get over that day?
The only way I can explain the feeling, it was disgusting. You know, never felt like that throughout my career. And it's a feeling I don't ever want to feel again.
But I suspect that is also a feeling that you want to harness and say, we don't want to be in a position where we're suffering that kind of disappointment again. We need to sort of use that in a positive way as well.
We need to kick on. We spoke about it as a group already. Spoke about having a winning mentality. As much as I wanted to win every game, and that's in my nature, last season, it was going to be impossible. Now, looking forward next year, we want a group of players that their mentality is that if we draw a game, it's not good enough. You know, it's going to happen, and we are going to lose games. But that mentality starts now. It starts in training. It starts when we go out to Portugal. It starts pre-season games, and we carry that all the way through the season now.
And you've got players at this football club who've been part of a team that have gone straight back up in the past as well. It's been shown that it can be done.
It can be done. And, you know, the group of players I've got here at the minute are committed and are driven to go straight back up, and that's the players I want here.
It won't be easy, though, will it? There's going to be an awful lot of teams in this region competing in the league, and you often find when there are a lot of derbies for a specific team that it becomes a little bit harder almost to go on sort of consistent runs because you're always taking points off each other.
There'll be a lot of derbies, but there's a lot of clubs. You know, you look at Preston, you look at Bristol City, you look at Peterborough. Mm. All clubs who have been there and thereabouts and who will be again this year. You know, Sheffield United, you had them to Barnsley, ourselves, Leighton Orient. You know, so there's a lot of clubs in there that'll have the same ambitions as we have. We've just got to make sure that as well as having a better team, have a better squad and have a better mentality than all of them.
What have you made of pre-season so far and your first action last night?
Pre-season has been it's been good. It's been tough on them. You know, going into the game last night, we wanted to make sure that physically we'd pushed them to their maximum so they could go out and be able to handle the ball when they were really tired. You know, we had a training session at 2 o'clock yesterday afternoon and then they went straight into the game last night. The conditions in the pitch weren't great last night, you know, so maybe that was conducive to how the game started anyway. You know, second half we got to grips with it and came out easy winners in the end. But it's about fitness at this stage. You know, the results in the games aren't that important, or the performances to a certain extent over the next couple of games. You know, once we get out Portugal and we get back, that's when we really need to make sure that our quality's there, our team plays there. Leading into the end of the season, you know, by the time we come back, we'll be halfway through pre-season. We'll get two really good games against Sheffield Wednesday and Rotherham. But the most important thing is August the 9th when the season kicks off.
How important is that Portugal trip to get out there, have the warm weather, to really get some good fitness work done?
It's great for a lot of reasons. You know, obviously the warm weather and getting their fitness work done in that sort of environment. The players literally live in each other's pockets 24/7. You know, as much as we trust our players implicitly, it's always good to know that they're there and you can watch what they're eating for the full week. And some of the younger ones especially, you can educate. The senior pros can help them. You know, and it really brings the group together. And on top of that, it gives us the chance with the weather to get three really good training sessions in them a day.
Have you got moves lined up now? I'm sure that you have. The takeover is going to be ratified on July the 18th, but have you got moves ready and what can you share with us at this stage?
Well, not a lot, really. You know, there's a lot of discussions going on. We're hopeful that the players we're talking to, once the takeover gets completed on the 18th, will then put pen to paper. You know, we had some trialists last night, some that we're taking a look at, some players that we're actively talking to at the minute, but nothing could be done till after the 18th, you know, and even people that weren't involved last night won't be involved on Saturday, and possibly not Portugal, although we'd like it to get done by then. Are in our thoughts, and as I said, positive discussions are going on.
Are Clark and Bailey formalities at this stage?
I wouldn't say they're formalities, you know, because what I will say is that the talks we've had to them have been very positive. They have shown a commitment to us by coming in and training and playing in games to us. So, you know, when you put that together, that's positive.
Presumably that's the kind of player that you want to bring as well. They've got a degree of experience there that can come in and immediately take to League One.
Yeah, we do. And, you know, what we want to try and do is, especially across the back five, goalkeeper included, is to get a lot of experience in there, of the division, but of experience of getting out of the division as well. You know, going forward, we want to get more pace in the team. You know, I think that's one thing, apart from Theo maybe, that we lacked last year, whether that be coming from wide areas or through the middle, or even energy in midfield, you know, so that's the sort of recruitment that we're looking at.
What have you seen so far from John Atsimabor and Kebby as well? What have you seen from those two guys?
Johnny's been in the full 8 or 9 days with us. You know, the first week it's hard to gauge because, if I'm being completely honest, the boys got battered fitness-wise. You know, it's only really this week that we've stepped up the football work a lot more. He picked up a slight hamstring last night, so that's going to sort of ruin his trial period as such for the next sort of 10 days to 2 weeks. So he won't be coming out with us. Elliot's only been in with us a couple of days. He's a player, he's got a good pedigree if you look at where he's came from. Obviously spending time out with Atletico Madrid. You know, so he's one that we'll keep an eye on with a view of maybe doing something or maybe not.
One name that has popped up today is Brian Stock. Is that a player that you would be interested in?
Brian's somebody, look, he's a good player, but he's not one we've had discussions with, no.
What about Ishmael Miller? He's another player who a lot of people want to know about.
Yeah, but Ishmael's actually used to clean my boots
really?
When he was a 16-year-old at Man City, so he's somebody that we've spoken about. You know, but one thing we won't be done, and this isn't necessarily the case with Ishmael, one is to be held to ransom by agents. You know, they think the takeovers came in, so all of a sudden we've got hundreds of millions of pounds to spend. We've got to work within budget. And Ishmael at the minute is looking to try and get championship football, you know, and that's as far as it's went.
Presumably, if you are patient with that and the situation changes, he would be a player you might be interested in?
We'll be patient to a point that we're not going to wait in answers for players to go and try and find something better. So with certain players, we have put deadlines on it.
Leroy Leiter and Jonathan Abita, are they other two players that you may be showing interest in here?
Leroy, there's been no discussions that have been had. Jonathan's a player I've admired for a long time. You know, I've watched him since he's been a 16, 17-year-old at Tottenham. He's a player I know a lot about. There's been preliminary discussions, but that's about as far as it's gone at the minute.
The big story at the moment is Paul Quinn. Just give us your take on that whole situation.
Without going over things again, you know, we put the statement out yesterday, and we'll stick by that. I'm not a big one for keep going on about things. You know, I think as a manager and as a club, we're very respectful in how we handle things, and you know what I said yesterday, I would just be repeating.
Has he got a future here then?
It's up to him. You know, and it looks like he doesn't see his future here, and I'll go back to saying that we only want people that are committed to the club. You know, it's not the first time he's not turned up for pre-season. You know, he's activated his clause to try and get a club. He's obviously not got one yet, so he's contracted to us.
You have taken quite a strong stance on this, though. I mean, I think unprofessional was a word that was used there to describe it. Is that how you see it, strong as that?
Of course, whether it's strong or not, it's unprofessional. You're contracted to a football club, you know, in a very privileged position, a position that hundreds of thousands of players would want to be in. you know, you're contracted, you've been getting paid, so the least you can do is turn up for training.
If he comes back here, if his future is at this football club, would you be prepared to work with him?
It's completely up to Paul.
The Coppingers, Keegans, Maxted, people like that. Anything new there? Are you close to keeping that?
I'll go back to the very start of the conversation where, you know, we know things can't be announced and legally until after the 18th. But what I will say, that I don't think they'd be training and playing with us if there wasn't an indication and we weren't hopeful of it happening.
Is that a positive thing that you've got a group of guys here that still see their future at this football club, that are prepared to continue training, they're not sat at home or waiting for other opportunities?
Well, I'll go back to the word I've used a lot, and that's commitment. And the players you've spoke about have got a lot of commitment to the club, on a professional basis and on a personal basis as well.
Many people have asked us to ask about Ross Turnbull and his situation. Is he still got a future at Doncaster?
Ross is another one we're speaking to. I actually spoke to his agent this morning. You know, we're trying to see if we can get something in place for after the 18th. If we can't do it, something we'll be moving on very quickly with, because we can't and we won't wait around on players making a decision.
No Harry Forrester last night, I believe. Was that just a precaution, because he's had a lot of injury issues?
Yeah, Harry was never going to play last night. You know, he's worked really hard through the summer, and he's had a really 8 or 9 intense days training. You know, and he had a lot of muscle stiffness right throughout his body, purely for the load that he's done, and after him being out for a long time. So he was a little bit looser in his muscles today. We'll see how he is tomorrow. If we have to look after him in the game against Lincoln on Saturday, we will. But he's fine. He's flying. He's looking strong. But after the injury and the amount of time he was out last year, you know, we need to make sure that he's absolutely right. But there's certainly no problem. There's no underlying injury or lying to you that he's carrying an injury, because he's not.
You've lost players this summer who've moved on to other football clubs. Is there any concern that there may be others who you're going to lose in this sort of situation?
Not at the minute, no. You know, the discussions we've had, as I said, have been really positive. You know, and what we will do if, like the players who have left, you know, they go with their best wishes. But if they don't want to be here, we won't hang around. You know, it's a big year for the club, and League One's a tough league. And if we want to be up there, we need a squad, not just a team that's completely committed to the cause.
How important do you think this month's going to be, not just in terms of you're going to want to bring players in, the preparation? It's going to be quite significant, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And, you know, pre-season, it's always an important time. You know, the first 2 or 3 weeks purely is about building the players' fitness up. And I've got to give the players a lot of credit, because they've come back flying and a lot healthier position fitness-wise than they did last year. So that's a great starting point for us. And, you know, once we get Portugal out the way, then we can really look forward to the start of the season then and get a recruitment right, which we're trying to do at the minute. It might take a little bit longer, but if it does, then, you know, we'll make sure that we've got a team and a squad capable of challenging next year.
A lot of clubs are finding that, aren't they, though? I mean, ideally, as a manager, you want to get everything done for the start of pre-season. It's becoming rarer and rarer, that, isn't it?
It is, but, you know, players have got to be very careful, because, you know, offers that are on the table now for them, and if they're hanging out for something better, in 2 or 3 weeks' time, the offers might be there, and it might be the offers might be gone completely, or they might be reduced significantly. You know, and I think a lot of the power now is going back to the clubs, because purely there's that many players out of contract at the minute.
Is that a good thing? Do you think that it's changed that way? Because it certainly seemed a year or two ago the power was very much with the players.
Yeah, look, ideally you want to get your squad done and dusted for the first day of pre-season, if not 2 weeks into it, 3 weeks into it. But I think you're very lucky as a club if you can get that. You know, and it's clubs are preparing to wait now. You know, and if somebody's asking X amount now, there's a good chance in 2 or 3 weeks' time that amount will be dropped. You know, you might take a gamble and lose out on that player, but there's that many players and good players out there at the minute that are without a club. So, you know, I do think that the tide's sort of turned a little bit into the club's favour.